on to the lesson for tonight. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I want to read this. We've talked about, you know, things from 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, obviously. I want you to see the kind of things that Paul highlights here as being important. As usual, we want to approach this in a way that's maybe different from your experience. And let me tell you why. There are things here in the text of the scripture that these men of the Spirit are trying very hard to relay to you. And what they want to relay to you is more than just the words they use. It's more than just the concepts that they are trying to encourage you to learn. But also, there's a sense of the supernatural they want to impart. And let me say that again. There is a sense of the supernatural that they want to impart. And you know what? We've done everything in our generation to quench that. And when you do that, you quench the Spirit. How many of you believe that? And after we read this, I want you to think about it in those terms. As we approach these scriptures, I want you to see how he talks about these subjects from that viewpoint of really trying to get you to understand that you are a supernatural people. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. I want you to focus on what he said there, somehow or other. Somehow or other. Now, you might think that this is a general saying, especially in the way we use it. But in the sense that Paul is using it, it isn't. It's very specific. Somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. The somehow is about the flesh. Other is about demons. When a person is deceived, I want you to think about this now. When a person is deceived, it is either the wiles of demons, the deception of demons, or it is the hubris of the flesh, the ignorance of the flesh, the powerlessness of the flesh, the misguidedness of the flesh, the desires to make something happen when there's no power to make it happen. Could be your own mind, or it's demonic. It's one of the two, isn't it? Always. But notice what Paul says here. Somehow or other. In other words, he's including both of these. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter whether it was, you know, you were self-deceived or whether it was demons. Somehow or other, you were led astray to mute idols. How many of you see that now? I mean, can really definitely see it now more than just the way we use somehow or other. You know, when you were pagans, Paul says, in other words, before you were Christians, when you were Gentile pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. That influence can take two forms, right? It can be just your own mind, your own carnal ignorance used against you. Or it can be demons, right? Doctrines of demons. So when he says somehow or other, he's being very specific here. He isn't just saying, well, in some way, you were led astray to this. when he says somehow or other, somehow intimates the flesh, and other intimates demons. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say these things. And let me tell you why. It's not about saying the words. We've talked about this before. I said the words just reading it, didn't I? I said both of those things. I said Jesus is Lord and Jesus be cursed. Both at the same time, didn't I? It's not about saying the words. It's about being able to express this from your heart as a truth. It's being able to say it and mean it. Right? No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. The Spirit of God would not be a part of that. And no one can say in their heart that Jesus is Lord except if they're allowed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the point he's trying to make in here is that you can't free yourself. All of those that are in bondage to ignorance and demons, none of them can say that Jesus is Lord if they're actually in bondage to something else. You see what I'm saying? A slave cannot say that he is free if he is owned. Let me say that again. A slave cannot say that he is, proclaim he is free if he is owned. Can he? Just as somebody who is free in Christ could never say Jesus is cursed. So he goes and he wants you to understand that we are influenced by spirits. That some people are in bondage to spirits. There are different kinds of spirits. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Lord distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that one Spirit. I want you to notice the nature of these things. All of these, the nature of all of these gifts that we have mentioned so far, and let me talk about what they mean. Just so, you know, I know that we're familiar with them in here, but other people will be listening to this. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Just because you may have a gift of discernment and not the gift of tongues doesn't mean that you belong to a different God or a different spirit. Just because the Spirit works with you in one way and doesn't in another doesn't mean that you're different from the one who does. The same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same, as capital S, distributes them, and that's the Holy Ghost. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's some people who are preachers. There's some people who are evangelists. Some people who, you know, who work in helps in the church. But just because they do different things don't mean that they serve a different God, do they? It's the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given from the common good. Everybody, if you are a Christian and the Holy Ghost dwells in your heart, you have a gift. Now I want you to notice that you can tell this very clearly here from these scriptures, because Paul is telling you that it is the Spirit that distributes the gifts. And in order for the Spirit to give you a gift, the Spirit has to dwell in you. You could not claim that Christ Jesus is your Lord if the Spirit wasn't in you. And we're talking about from the heart. We're not just about saying the words. So the origin of these things we're looking for did not come from the two sources we were influenced before by pagan, when we were pagans. In other words, without Christ. It is not our own minds, our own ignorance, or the ignorance of others. It is not men, it is not flesh, and it is not demons. Do you see that? It's from above. It's from a different origin. And this is what we've got to focus on here. The origin is from above. See, everything in above, and I want you to understand the natural state of things. The natural state of things with Adam is that we were in bondage to the devil through our sin and our desires. Right? Everybody agree with that? We are naturally kept in darkness and in ignorance of what can set us free. This is the natural progression. And following that natural progression, men being cut off God from God spiritually would continue on to die. That's the natural progression. You see it every day in the physical, because everyone still, according to the physical right now, everyone dies. That's the natural progression of things. But you see, these things that come from God through Jesus Christ is an intervention into that from above. It's an intervention of the supernatural into the natural world. It is by this intervention that we exist and continue and grow. In other words, we are dependent upon supernatural means. These gifts are necessary for us to be able to fulfill what God has given, put before us. So to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given from the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. And let me tell you how that works. I think the perfect example is when Joseph was able, through the power of God, to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh had a dream about 7 years of plenty that would be followed by 7 years of famine. All he saw was cows and ears of corn, right? He didn't see the meaning. It was Joseph who told him what it meant. That is a word of knowledge, knowing something he could not possibly know according to the physical. The wisdom was when he said, well, now that you have seen this, what do I do? And Joseph told him. He not only took that knowledge, but applied it as something you do. Then you gather up a fifth of the harvest from the days of plenty and store it for the days of famine, so that Egypt will be saved. So you see that he not only had the knowledge of what the thing meant, but the wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge. And that's the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And you will rarely see one without the other. Those who are given words of wisdom are often also given the gift of the word of knowledge. Not always, but often. Those who are prophets and apostles will always have these two things working together, always. Two witnesses. Wisdom and knowledge are two witnesses. But you see, I want you to see this supernatural expression, to be able to know things from above and have the wisdom of above to apply them, is like having the law and the prophets in your pocket. Two witnesses. Isn't that awesome? To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And I like the way, in the same way that the Scripture has paired word of wisdom and word of knowledge, it has paired these two things. Faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Again, like two witnesses. Faith is what happens before someone is healed. Healing is the result of faith. Let me say that again. Faith is what happens before someone is healed. And healing is the result of faith. That makes these two things hard to separate, right? Because they are dependent upon each other. Often, you will find one that has an extra great faith will also have the gift of healing. And vice versa. There's more to say there, but we have other things to cover. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And I want to look at each one of these a little bit. Miraculous powers are extraordinary miracles like God did with Paul, like Christ did with Paul, where they took the napkins that he had wiped his sweat with when he was preaching and teaching, and given it to the sick, and they were healed. That's an extraordinary, that's a miraculous power. Like Jesus turning water into wine. Miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Now, you notice that there is a great comparison between prophecy. Anybody who's involved with prophecy needs discernment. And that's what distinguishing between spirits is. But let me tell you something about distinguishing between spirits. It's not just being able to point out what is of Christ and what is of the devil. But it's also about dealing with attitudes. Dealing with things that people hide. Being able to discern someone's real motives. And you're going to find that there's a great comparison between people's attitudes and spirits. Because if a person is of an attitude, whether it's hateful, whether it's one that's distracting, whether it's one that's sober, you can bet that there is a spirit involved, and it is either of God or it is of not, you know, or it is not. It's just like when you lose your temper and you say, I lost it, who found it? When you say something that you didn't mean to say, that was hateful because you were angry in the moment. Or when you follow an impulse to do something you ought not to do. It was just an impulse. And 9 times out of 10, you held it back, but this time you said yes to it. That impulse came from somewhere, not just you. Discernment of spirits involves all of this. Prophecy is, it's important to have discernment of spirits, because prophecy involves hearing from God and talking to God and sharing what God has with the congregation. And you want to know that what is influencing you through prophecy is of God. And so discernment's very close to that, isn't it? To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and another, interpretation of tongues. You can see where these two things are joined. Just like the wisdom and the knowledge, there's the speaking in the language and understanding the language. Meaning. Structure and meaning. Structure is the speech, right? Interpretation is the meaning. As Paul said about tongues, no language is without meaning. So he has laid down quite a bit. All these are the work of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. No man determines this, God does. Now, I want you to look at all the elements of supernatural here. All the elements. Everything about these gifts are supernatural. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom that come from above, not from humans. Language and understanding that comes from above, not humans or of human origin. Miraculous powers that intervene into the natural order of things. Healing and access to the things of heaven through faith that intervene into the natural order of things here. Prophecy. To hear from the very heart of God. All of these are an intervention from the supernatural into the natural. There is nothing natural about any of these things. You know, a lot of denominations are afraid of the gifts and have tried to make it look as if they pass away, because for two reasons. The biggest one is they have no power. They claim that they are of Christ. They claim that they are of God. They claim their denominations and their thoughts have come from God, and their teachings have come from God, but they have no power to demonstrate that. No power. What? How do they reach to men's hearts? They rely on that somehow or other influence. Either to ramrod people in their ignorance, or to call upon spirits that have nothing to do with God. That's how you control the people in religion circumstances without the power of God. It's going back to what the pagans did, somehow or other. They don't believe. They don't have the power of Christ at work in them to do these miraculous things, and so they have to explain it. And what is it easiest to say? Is that God stopped doing those things? Or we stopped believing? So they made it as if God has stopped those things. And that's a blasphemy. Because God, they have twisted scripture to try to back that up. God doesn't do that anymore. It's a blasphemy. They have transferred their inadequacies upon God. And it shows that the God they serve has no power. So that's the first thing. So the second thing is, they do not want, you know, this is modern man. To believe in such things is to believe in superstition. That's their viewpoint. That is their viewpoint. To believe in such things is to get into, carried away into mass hysteria. To give rise to those kinds of things. You know, the whole idea of the stiff upper lip and the silence in the church has come from the fact that they want to religiously cover up the fact they have no power. The straight lace, well, we wouldn't do that here, is born from the fact that they have no power. And they must make it look kosher. They must make it look pious. They must make it look like this is the way it's supposed to be. And if anybody comes in acting like that, then they're out of order. You see, how many of you see those two points? They don't believe it. They have no power. They have to put on a front to make you believe that's the way it's supposed to be. But I have yet to find anything in the scripture, especially in the New Testament, that doesn't speak of everything that has to do with Christ being an intervention into the natural order of things, upsetting the natural order of things, changing the thing. Now, we've got to ask ourselves the questions at this juncture, then what are we going to do? If what I'm telling you is true, what are we going to do? Because if nothing else, we see our need. If you're not experiencing this supernatural power at work in your life with the expectancy that Paul speaks of it here, then there obviously is a problem. A problem we share. So what are we going to do? We do what the only thing we can do, because you can't make these things happen. You cannot just start walking in the supernatural and call it so. You can't make it happen, your flesh. Apart from God, you have no power of yourself. We got to do the two things that they will not do. We've got to seek God for understanding about why this is the way this is. And we've got to believe. We've got to invest ourselves in faith again. We've got to believe. Because if you don't believe that the God has the power, and it is his will to supernaturally intervene into the way things are here in this world of flesh, then why be a Christian at all? That is the very nexus of who we are. It's time to consider that, huh? I want you, when you go back now to reading the Bible, to reading the New Testament, see how everything we're looking for from God, grace, mercy, understanding, love, healing, power. All of that is supernatural in its origin. All of that comes from above. All of that comes from the Holy Spirit that we claim to have dwelling in us. You want to see an awakening a reawakening of the Church of Christ and stir up the Spirit in you. Stir up the gifts that are in you. Stir up your faith.